President Bush's administration faces criticism over two issues on Iraq: how it made the case for war and how it's managing the occupation. Now, private relief groups are demanding that the administration arrange for an international police force. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Humanitarian groups are usually quite visible in post-conflict areas, but the security situation in Iraq is so troubling that many organizations are keeping a low profile. They're not driving Jeeps emblazoned with their logos. They're taking taxis and hiring security specialists, hoping not to become a soft target in what the Pentagon now admits is a guerrilla war. Patrick Carey, Senior Vice President for Programs for CARE, says the insecure environment in Iraq is also changing the kind of work his group is doing.
We wanted to provide high-protein biscuits to malnourished children at a health center, but the officials at the health center actually urged us not to do so because they were worried that if the biscuits were there, they would be a magnet for looting. And instead, they asked us to provide better security facilities, including locks and so forth, and a gate for the institution.
Speaking outside congressional offices, Carey lamented that he's had to divert money to spend on security rather than meet real health needs of Iraqis. CARE, along with World Vision and several other relief groups, sent a letter to President Bush this week warning that the lack of security is preventing some humanitarian efforts in Iraq. Carey, who recently visited his staff in Baghdad, compares the situation to other recent war zones.
Afghanistan, Somalia, Sierra Leone, they all represent, you know, significant aspects of danger. But I felt it actually, I think in this case, more a personal risk, and I worried more about the safety of my staff on a day-to-day basis in Baghdad than I do on a normal day-to-day basis in Afghanistan.
Retired Lieutenant General Jay Garner, who initially ran the U.S. post-war team for Iraq, played down the threats to non-governmental organizations when he testified at a House Government Reform Subcommittee on Friday.
The thing about NGOs is essentially the environment needs to be fairly permissive for them to be able to work. The NGOs do a marvelous job. I mean, they're great people, they're wonderful people, but I'll have to tell you that when they come to you, they complain all the time about how terrible things are and how they don't get supported and all that, because that's the way they get money.
Garner says they can't get money from the government without griping. The Bush administration did try to keep a lid on what NGOs have to say about the situation in Iraq. When the U.S. Agency for International Development gave grants to private aid groups, it asked them to clear their media contacts with government officials. The USAID's James Cunder acknowledges this clause in the contract was a major source of tension, but a side issue to the bigger problems of how private relief groups can work with the U.S. military in Iraq.
Much of the civilian-military interaction, NGO to military interaction that's taken place since the end of the Cold War, has been in the context of UN-sanctioned peacekeeping operations, like Bosnia, so that the soldiers who showed up in Bosnia were working there under a Security Council mandate and had particular responsibilities to support humanitarian operations. In Afghanistan and Iraq, the rules are different. The troops there are not assigned to support the civilian humanitarian organizations on the ground.
That's one reason relief groups are eager to see the United Nations play a larger role in Iraq. This week, Secretary of State Colin Powell acknowledged he's exploring ways to increase the UN mandate if that would make it easier for countries around the world to help rebuild and police Iraq. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.